Everybody, we are in Parashat Be'alotcha.
This is my son's bar mitzvah.
Oh yeah.
But he was in Moscow.
Yes.
When he was, in college, whatever. And it was his bar mitzvah, and he went to the shul, the main shul.
Yeah.
He says that at that time they had little minions in each corner of the shul. They didn't gather together. Because they were afraid. But he asked if he could do
the parsha,
and they said of course. And he's got a nice loud voice if he wants to have. And he started to say it, and he says they came from all around, and they were standing there crying. And
unbelievable. No? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. This is Ba'alotcha et Hanerot. What is Ba'alotcha et Hanerot? It's a very strange phrase. You light candles. You don't lift them. Ba'alotcha et Hanerot. But the thing is, the menorah is the symbol of the Torah. The light of the menorah is the light of the Torah. And the light of the Torah elevates us. So it's Be'alotcha et Hanerot. It's not just lighting a candle. It's just not lighting the menorah. The menorah's got something that is a very important thing, that when you connect to it, we just now receive the Torah. So you receive the Torah, we have to feel uplifted. We have to lift ourselves. The same thing as we say Naso et Rosh, where we're counting Am Yisrael. It's not counting. It's raise up the heads of Am Yisrael. So this is in the same way here, the Torah is telling us Be'alotcha et Hanerot. Somebody who goes in the way of the Torah should never feel, beyond, so it should never feel that he is missing something, that he's down. He should always feel is up there. Up there, of course, not in the meaning of being arrogant, but up there to understand the power we've got. Because we have to understand and realize that the Torah asks us to be humble. But the Torah doesn't ask us to be stupid. Humbleness doesn't mean, if I know something, I don't talk about it. Humbleness doesn't mean that I don't use the power I've got. Humbleness doesn't mean that I don't talk to people and tell them what I know. On the contrary, if you have knowledge, if you have power, you have to use it. But you use it with humbleness. Understand and realize, how do you do this? You understand and realize that the power is not yours. You got it from God. Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, V'nachnu ma. He and Aaron HaKohen say, V'nachnu ma. We are nothing. What does it mean is nothing? Moshe Rabbeinu is nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu, lo kam b'Yisrael ke Moshe od. There was nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu in Am Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, you see, I got it from whom? From God. If God would have given it to somebody else, maybe it would be even better than me. That's the way to look at things. I got the talent, I'm going to use the talent, but I know that it is not my talent. It's God gave it to me. So the same way God gave it this to me, he gave other people other things. And there is no reason that I be, or that I will feel better than others. I have to use the power. I have to use the power. This is something very important to understand. Sometimes people think, I'm humble and I'm not going to... What do you mean? God gave you power, you have to use it. So that's the same when you come to somebody who is, a tzaddik. He can be a multimillionaire. He can be a genius. He can be the best scholar in the world. But he will talk with you eye to eye. The same level. Though he is much better than you. No, he's not much better than you. He's got powers that you haven't got. And this is the way that we should understand and realize what the whole idea is of the Torah, of the menorah. The menorah is that it was built in one piece. Mikshachat. Ka'asher era ot chabar. Like God showed Moses on the mountain of Sinai. What is the idea of Mikshachat? There is a very interesting discussion. What is more important? The candles of the menorah or the menorah itself? The light or the menorah? What is more important?
The light.
They both work together.
I think both.
The one needs the one and the other one needs the other.
That's right.
They need each other. They go.
The light without the menorah is nothing. No. You can't think that the light is more important. It's the light of the Torah, yes. But here in this world, the light of the menorah has got no meaning if it's not connected to this world. And to be connected to this world is chomer. It's a physical thing. It's material. Otherwise, it's got nothing. What are we? A part of us is flesh and blood, materialistic, and a part of us is spiritual, the neshama. But if you take the neshama out, what have you got? Nothing. So the same thing is the menorah. You have to understand what is our job in this world. You cannot think that you can sit in a yeshiva and learn the whole day and do nothing. What do you mean I do? I learn. Lilmod ulolamed lishmor velasot. The reason you learn in order to teach others and also to do it by yourself. That's the idea. Because otherwise, what are you doing in this world? Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to receive the Torah. The angels come to him and they tell, what are you doing here? They're telling God, why are you giving the Torah to the human beings? What is this? So what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? Sorry. What does it mean for you not to steal? What does it mean for you not to murder? What does it mean to you to light filling?
You have father.
What does it mean to have you got a body? What do you mean? Of course the Torah is to go down. That's the whole idea of the Torah. So if people think that they can be only spiritual, doesn't exist. And we see it, by the way. You see, like you have those Hindus, whatever you call them, they go on this high mountain somewhere, sit by themselves and elevate themselves up to heaven. Are they tzaddikim?
They're doing nothing.
Or are they what?
They're doing nothing.
Not only they're doing nothing, they're doing the worst thing in the world. They're egoistic. This is ego trip. This is an ego trip. Think about it. I with God. What do you mean I? What? And what with all the other people? They don't exist. It's you, only you with God. This is why you came to this world? No. It's a big mistake. We are a part of a community. And as a part of the community, we have to contribute to the community. We have to be a part of it. In other words, if I know something, I teach it others. If I have the power to help others, I help others. This week I'm writing about a very interesting thing. I saw a very interesting article. Are people evil or good? What do you think?
Depends. Not
you look around.
Yeah. I think it's not.
And you think yourself, people are evil. You think yourself, people are evil. Look what's going on in this world all around. But he says, this Rav, Rav Shechter, I think, I don't remember his name. He says a very interesting thing. And it changed my whole point of view on things. It says, most of the people are good from inside. They are good. They are not evil. Only a very few people are really evil. So what's the problem? Why do people do bad things?
Yetzirah.
It's not, it's more than Yetzirah. It's what Yetzirah is it? It's the ego. You know, sometimes you see people that do in some places so good, so many good things, and suddenly you find out that they are doing
it for themselves.
The point is, the minute you are connected to yourself and you're not connected to the others, you don't understand what he goes through. And if you don't understand what he goes through, you think you are 100%. You are good. Why? Because it's me and only me. I don't feel the problem of the other, but the real truth is, how does it go in this play? If you're going to cut me, I'm not going to bleed.
Yeah.
We have to feel it. The problem is that we have to go out of our ego. In Kabbalah, they say there is the real me or the truth me and the fake me. What is the fake me? Fake me is the Yetzer Hara, it's your ego. And what is the real me? The neshama. So the minute you listen to the neshama, you are in a different world. But when you listen to yourself, We've been now in Beijing. And the taxi drivers in China are sometimes very nasty. What do I mean? Like, they can take you a tour around and you have to, you pay double, three times, four times.
They do that everywhere.
I just want to tell you about the experience. They do it everywhere.
Yeah.
The point is, why do they do it? Are they evil?
No.
So,
more money.
A few weeks ago when I've been in Beijing, it was Friday, and it was Erev Shabbos. You know, in a few hours it's Shabbos. And we've been somewhere. We hardly got a taxi to go back to the hotel. On the middle of the way, the taxi does an accident, is involved in an accident. Yes, it goes out. And it's, you know, it goes out, starting shouting. They send us out, and then we have to find a taxi. And I told you it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. Eventually, my son offers this taxi driver double, three times the money, and he doesn't agree to take us. And my wife is almost crying. Then he realizes that we're really in a bad situation. And suddenly he says, okay, go in. And then he doesn't even take the money, only what he deserves. And at that time when I told it to you, I didn't read this article. And it was for me something amazing, though, because I'm used to those drivers, because you see in China, a taxi is nothing, like it doesn't cost a lot. And suddenly when you realize that they are really starting to do you all the time, because they think that we don't know the prices. But now, after reading this article of this rabbi, I understood what's going on here. See, this taxi driver, the poor Chinese taxi driver, looks at the tourists as rich people. They have a lot of money. And for them, it's nothing. So he thinks that what he's doing is good. He needs panoso. And for us, the tourists, it's nothing. So he takes double the money, three times the money. Especially, you know, when you go out of an exhibition, in the time when you go out in China, there are so many people, you know, huge exhibition. And let's say 6 o'clock, the exhibition is shut down. Imagine to yourself now all the people going out. Mm-hmm. Those are clever, they go 2 hours before. But that last hour, you go out, you like, it's a madhouse. Then you have a line for a taxi that you can stand there for an hour, maybe sometimes even more. So what do other taxi do? They use the situation and they charge money with no connection to the real fee. And you know, I said, and that was my picture of a Chinese taxi driver. And suddenly I see this tzaddik. But then I realized, it doesn't mean that the others are mean people. It's the matter of a point of view. How do you look at things?
Maybe he had some Jewish blood.
Yes. Now I'm saying we have to learn from this taxi driver, to connect. Those taxi drivers are not connected. He is giving panosa to his house. And he is working very hard. And this tourist comes. And he thinks he's doing good. He's not doing anything evil. But this taxi driver suddenly realized that we're suffering. So suddenly, when he understood that we are suffering, that we're not this rich tourist that's got so much money that he doesn't know what to do with the money, but it's a tourist that is in a problem, a human being in a problem, then suddenly finds his good art. And this is a big lesson. How many times we see people and we don't even realize that they're suffering, and we don't understand their problems because we're not connected. We're connected to ourselves. And this is, I think, one of the big lessons of our parsha says, "Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau." This is all this, the whole thing, you know, Am Yisrael, they're going in the desert, and it's also in our parsha. And what's happening is, the cloud and the trumpet, and the cloud go up, the trumpet, and you have to move. Now, sometimes it was happening after one night, sometimes after a month, sometimes after years. And the Torah is telling us, Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau. They stop
when
Hashem told them to stop, and they moved when Hashem told them to stop. Again, and again, and again, to tell us the greatness of Am Yisrael. They didn't care. It could be 2 hours ago, they just took down all the things belonging and started building the camp. And suddenly they finish up the tent, And the cloud goes up.
They have to, didn't complain?
Didn't complain.
No.
No?
Not this time.
Unfortunately, in our parsha, we have a lot of complaints. Yeah. In our parsha. We had a lot of complaints in our parsha. But at this particular thing, they didn't complain. And this is what Am Yisrael is being written again and again. Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. You can look at it. It's in... Yeah.
Yes, I'm still complaining.
Here, it's in Perek.
Samach,
you need more light?
What do you think he's doing? He has the menorah.
Perek, what is the Perek? Perek, Perek? Where is the Perek? Samech? No.
No, no, it's not Samech. It's the
Perek Tet. Perek Tet. Perek Tet. Perek 9. Perek Tet. Perek Tet. Pasuk, where is it? Pasuk, that's
right.
Pasuk Yudchet, Pasuk 18. Pasuk 18. Got it? It is. Let me see. Where is Kamishi? Achrei Revi.
Achrei Revi.
Hello, here it's not. You've got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
Pasuk. Pasuk, it starts in Pasuk 18. Yes. Yeah. Pasuk Yudchet. Pasuk 18. Al pi Hashem yis'u bnei Yisrael, al pi Hashem yachanu. Kol yemei asher ishkon anan al-mishkan yachanu. Barich anan al-mishkan yamim rabim, v'shamu bnei Yisrael et mishmeret Hashem, v'lo yisau. V'yesh asher haya anan yamim yispar al-mishkan al pi Hashem yachanu, v'al pi Hashem yisau. And then it goes on and on and on, again and again and again. The Torah is telling us that Am Yisrael just moved when they were told to move and parked when they were supposed to park. No question. Whatever God told them to do, they did. And this is exactly the way we should live our life. Al Pi Hashem. The minute we do this, and it's not only me and what is important for me, and it's what's important for God. And what is important God more than ever, more than all the things in the world is V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. So if I want to go Al Pi Hashem, the most important thing Al Pi Hashem is V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. It's not to be concentrated in myself. It's to be concentrated in what other needs.
Amen.
Just now, in shul, before I came to shul, somebody comes, asked me to lashlim minyan. To go, they need to do a minyan in a Beit Avel. And I didn't really, I was concentrating on something that I was doing, and I didn't understand exactly what he wants. I said, no, I'm davening here. And then I realized, I go out, he already talked, oh no, it's okay, I've got a minyan. And I thought, again, it's the same old story, you know. You concentrate on yourself, so you don't listen to others, you don't even understand. It's like, I told you, when my father died, so I met one of our friends, and you know, she's like polite, she's asking, oh, how are you? How are things? She says, my father died. She says, oh, Eze Yofi. She didn't even listen. I said, oh, sorry.
We had an affair. My friend and I, we went to the ladies' room, And we were, you know, in the store. These two women walked in, and one of them says, to the other, "How's your mother?" And she said, "Oh, she died." She said, "Oh, that's nice."
That's nice.
I'm saying it's, you know, it's just showing to us that we are so, we are, yes. Yeah. You don't listen, and that's one of the biggest problems we have.
Ultimately, one says, "How are you?"
Baruch Hashem.
You know, but you don't listen.
Says, people, they want to. I once tried, says,
"Wow, wow." Who said that?
I said, "Someone's done for a job." Says, you know, people just asking, you know, they don't really want to know how are you. They're just being polite. So, and then they go on with life. And no, this is exactly the. Of course, not always. Baruch Hashem, not always. Baruch Hashem.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem.
My grandmother used to say, when you walk out of the house, you should always look nice because nobody really cares how you
look. We have to fix it. This is Al-Pi Hashem. This is the menorah. This is the light. This is to understand and realize we are not alone. Especially now after Matan Torah. How did we do Matan Torah? Ke'ish echad belev echad. That's the way it's supposed to be. Like one. So when we talk about receiving the Torah, walking in the way of the Torah, this is the way of the Torah. Don't be concentrated in yourself. Don't listen to your fake ego. Listen to your real ego. To your real me. That's Al Pi Hashem. That's the neshama.
The problem is that modernity is.
This is also one of the problems.
Yeah.
Instead of connecting people. Well, you know, my father always said, and it's very interesting, my father always said, Allah Hashem, he said, that when you do business, the best way to do it is personal relationship. He says, it's not the phone, it's not the fax. And it's not the internet when it started. It's to sit together and talk. And you know, I must say that I practice this. And the difference is amazing. You know, you can talk with this guy on the internet, on the WhatsApp, on the WeChat, which they've got in China, and whatever it is. Send pictures, even talk with him through the phone. It's not the same when you sit on the table together. And what we, in our business, achieve sitting together with this Chinese manufacturer, manager, is 10 times more than what we achieve when we're just talking on the internet. Why? Personal connection. Something in it.
It's hard to get
stuff. I know, but that's what makes the world tick.
If someone you call Bezek,
yeah.
That's why they're bringing over. They brought soldiers over from America. They brought the Israeli army. They brought cadets over from the army. They feel they're working. That these will be future leaders, and that they should know what they have to deal with, and should be, you know, have some protection for the future.
So in other
makes sense.
And you see, that's the point. You see, when you see it in real life, you have to understand whatever we see in real life is for us to practice in the Torah, in our daily life. That's the way we should be. Personal connection, to understand the needs of the other side. Not only my needs. This is what makes us different from others. But, unfortunately, we have Yetzer Hara. And Yetzer Hara wants other things, so we have to fight him. And in our parsha also there is this big fight when Am Yisrael suddenly decide that they want to eat meat. They want to eat meat. But we are amazed of the punishment they're getting. You know, they just wanted to eat meat, so what's so terrible? To kill people on this, like...
But they have the mana, they can take what they want. This is the point.
Tell me something, do you eat vegetarian hamburgers?
It's or not the same. No, it's not the same. The mana was not vegetarian hamburgers.
No, this but it was the idea that it tastes like.
Maybe it was Gaby
hamburgers.
The thing is that you forget, we talk about it every year, you forget that when they asked the first time for food, when they got the man, they didn't got only the man.
Yeah.
We read it in Parashat Aman every day, those who read it. They got also the Slav. Baboker, man. Baerev, Slav.
Dinner was Slav.
In other words,
like
whale, what how do you call it?
Quail.
Quail. It's like a small chicken.
Like a
small chicken. That's the Slav.
Today is a lot of money to eat this.
Yeah, see? And they got it free in the desert.
Yeah.
So in other words, what? Because the big question is, in the past, they already asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu for food. They also complained. When they took us out of the desert, Amisar said, hey, we've got nothing to eat. And then God gives them the man, but people don't realize it. He also gives them Slav. You can look in Parashat Aman, you will see it written very clearly. Mm-hmm. So some want to say that only the first day they got the Slav, and then it stopped and they had only man. But logically, looking at what's written, it means that in the morning they had Slav, the evening they had meat. Morning man, evening Slav. Morning man, evening Slav. So this is the way it goes. So, what's going on here? Why is God giving them Slav? Like, it looks like a new thing. It's not a new thing. They're getting it every day.
And they had flocks with them as well.
They
what? Flocks.
They had everything. So it's
that with the flocks of
So the question here is it's a very difficult situation. Think about it. From one point, let's see, what do they really want? If they want Slav, impossible because they're already eating Slav. If they want meat, also impossible because they have cattle with them. They have everything. They want fish, they say that even in the whale of Miriam they had fish.
Really?
That's what they say. But they don't ask for fish. By the way, they don't ask for it, they ask for meat. But, so, what's going on here?
Yeah, why they are complaining?
Why do they complain and why are they getting punished so severely? Because it avuta ava. It was not the meat they wanted. It's the desire. They got tired of eating spiritual food that gives them only spiritual powers and they felt like they're elevated all the time. They wanted to feel earth. They wanted to connect to the flesh. Ta'avat basar.
A cake of seven layers.
Yes. And like Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, what can I give them? Whatever you give them, it's not enough. So in other words, when we read this part, we have to understand and realize that it's not a complaint about eating Slav. It's a complaint to complain. No, that's itabutaba. It's written. It's written.
Yeah, Hashem tell. So they will give them Slav till with a. Go out from the.
Va'asafsuf asher bekirbo itavu ta'ava. Not written they wanted meat or Slav or fish. What's written? Itavu ta'ava. So it's like when you are not satisfied of something, you look for excuses, you look for something to start. You know, you're angry, you go around the house and you look for something to start. Well, what did you do here? What's this? What happened? You are like in the mood to start. Doesn't matter what it is. You start. Somebody moved the glass. Why did you move the glass? What happened? Oh, no. But that's life. That's the way to. Here, it's written very clearly. It avu tava. That's what it was. That's why they were punished so severely.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't the meat. It wasn't that they were angry that they didn't eat. They had plenty of food. And they have heavenly food. They had everything.
The attitude.
It's Yetzer Lev. It's again, we're coming to this.
Ta'ava.
Lust. Lust. I want. They couldn't bear it that it's all spiritual. It's all holy. They wanted a little. You know?
Yeah, a little.
A steak fillet. I'm done. Or whatever. I don't want to say whatever, all the things they
but
want.
He was not called Am Yisrael. I think this was El Efra.
It's the Asaf Su.
Asaf Su.
Asher Bekirban, Itavut Ha'ava. And as we all know, unfortunately, if we have
influence.
A bad apple, the bad apple has gotten ill, spoils all the apples around, unfortunately. That's why we have to be very careful with our friends. Who do we choose to be our friend? We have to be careful. So,
a neighbor.
Yes. Unfortunately, I have to finish the lesson, so we'll finish. I have another lesson today. So, it's very clearly, it's like, you know, you go to weddings, and sometimes it says that they miss the point, you know. All the food and all the things around, and like sometimes the wedding itself is like a few minutes, and then everybody waits to go in to eat, and everything is, and you think, what's going on here? This is a fancy hall, fancy thing, and everybody forgets that the whole thing is two people are getting married, building a home in Am Yisrael. That's the important thing. So this is Itavut Ha'ava. When the whole idea about everything is your personal desire and lust, and that's what you're running after, it gets to the point that you miss the point. You miss the important part. Like, I was at that wedding, you know, it's unbelievable what the things they had there. I think, didn't you miss it? We are not here to eat. Yes, okay, you have to give people to eat, but don't concentrate on eating and all the other stuff doesn't mean. And all the dresses and all the clothes and all the things and all the flowers and then that, and people forget that there is those two people there, you know, that getting married today.
Yeah, but they're the ones that want it.
I don't know. A lot of times it's not the young couple.
It's
the parents that want it. Unfortunately, I went through it, and I think everybody goes through it, that sometimes, you know, the young couple says, we want to get married. You know, that's what we want. We want to get married. You know, the girl wants a nice wedding. Okay, but then the parents start. The modest, the modest, the modest. And we like, at the end of, did we miss something? It's not showing off. It's not showing all the world, I did a beautiful wedding. You know, I've been at this bar mitzvah. It's really sad. You know, and everybody was calculating the father and the mother. And the bar mitzvah was standing at the side. Nobody even noticed him. They were all busy with all the things around and what they get. So I said, when is Shilayla? What are you doing? The parents wanted to show off that they are rich people. That's all. And as I said, they looked for an excuse. Itavut Ha'ava. So the excuse was, we have a bar mitzvah. Don't you know it? Somebody wants to do a party, wants to show everybody how wealthy he is. So he looks for a reason. Doesn't matter what it is. So here also, they complained. They didn't really want me. It was the complaint itself. Bezrat Hashem, we will look to the menorah and realize the connection between the light and the body of the menorah, between the neshama and the body, and do all the things we do al pi Hashem. And be al pi Hashem means that we should connect to others and to feel others and not only ourselves. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll make the world a better world.
Go ahead.